don't serve anything that you said, oh, you know, it's not quite right, but maybe it'll pass. No.
Nope.
Don't forget that. Forget it.
Welcome to the American Master Chef's Order, AMCO Podcast. I'm Certified Master Chef Gerald Ford. The AMCO Podcast is recorded in association with South Bend Equipment, Colorado Mills, Sunflower Seed Oil, and Winco Equipment. Kicking off Season 2, I have a very special guest, Master Chef Ferdinand Metz. He's the father of the Certified Master Chef exam and basically what we've come to know as the Certified Master Chef. I've broken this down into a two-part series because it's simply, really, just a great long conversation. Here we are in part two. Let's kick off part two with, what's the benefit of becoming a Certified Master Chef?
I think we have to say, first and foremost, self-improvement. You're going to be coming out of this examination a better chef than you were before, period. Because it just tests you on so many levels and under so many circumstances that as you navigate through that, you become a better chef, better person even. You know? And so it's that self-improvement. It's a realization of who you are as a chef. It's how to take a risk, and it's also salary. I mean, we saw from the very beginning that certified master chefs make more money, period.
Period.
Yeah. And then the other question is, what's the benefit of employing a CMC? Well, that was very important for us to make sure that the industry begins to understand what a master chef is. And why there's such an examination, and get that industry recognition, and ultimately they understand that if they want effective leadership in their kitchens, in their food service operation, to hire a certified master chef, chances are they will, you know, be very, very successful.
Right. That support component from the employer is so critical. And I think one of the challenges I hear from potential candidates for the test is trying to get that support. My response is usually, have you asked for it legitimately, or have you painted a very clear picture as to why you'd be a good candidate for it? But I think there's a lot of question as to what is the real value of employing a master chef. And that's definitely why that question's been there for me. And the reasons that you spoke to are 100% the reasons why I pursued. I've wanted to be a master chef since I was 14 years old.
And I
find day in and day out that it pushes me to be better than I was yesterday, always.
And the gratification of having gone through it successfully adds a large degree of confidence in the individual, knowing what to do, how to do it, when to do it, when not to do it. I think it has a benefit for the employer, a great benefit for the individual. And so Right. It's a win-win situation, and it's just the right thing to do.
And an inspiration for the team behind as well.
Oh, yeah. And of course, that now also goes back to this risk factor. If you ask your employer, I'd like to take the test, now they know.
Yeah.
And they also know if you make it or not.
You're committed.
So does your family. So do your coworkers. So do your friends. So do the does the employer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's part of the risk.
And it's part of the reward, too.
At the same time.
You know, how would you like to see the test move into the future?
Yeah.
What vision do you hold?
Make it more accessible without compromising the quality. In an overarching statement, I would like to see that. Now, under that comes specific components that make that happen. And there's no question about it that more practice tests would be very, very helpful. You know, invite people who have identified that they want to become a certified master chef, have AMCO participate and support these regionally staged
assessments, basically
test examinations that give people the necessary feedback that that allows them to measure themselves and to. And I think as we do that, we will be seeing many more successful candidates entering and passing the examination. So we have to find more qualified candidates, and that's one way to do it. The other thing is to encourage more women chefs to take the examination. I don't know why we don't, you know, right now we only have one woman chef, Lyde Buchtenkirk, who passed the examination. I know there were some that, but very, very few women have taken that risk. I'm surprised. I think there are many more women that are qualified to take it, but they haven't done it. And then the other thing is, and maybe that relates to it, that those that have passed examination are perceived of an elite group, part of an elite group, mm-hmm. which is not what I think we are, because we are, I think we are going all out to help other people to pass the examination. Having more MasterChef isn't going to hurt us. It's just going to, you know, kind of broadcast this whole issue of who is and who is not, and what does it take, and what are the qualifications of a MasterChef. It just spreads that knowledge of having more MasterChefs in the industry around, and it's nothing but positive.
Well, and I've definitely heard many times over that MasterChefs seem unapproachable. And I've never found that to be true. Anytime I've reached out, I've always been well received and been able to get time.
Right. Well, maybe they get that impression during the examination where you're not really supposed to talk. You're not really supposed to give advice. You're not really, you try to stay in the background. You don't stay on, you know, hover over the candidates and make them feel really bad right. and insecure. Maybe those are some of the issues that ultimately translate in being an elite group. And I think most master chefs would actually do anything and everything they can to eliminate that perception. But it's out there. And so right or wrong, we have to deal with it.
Understood. What do you, or what would you say, and do you see the major difference between the Certified Master Chef and the WCMC, the World Chef Master Chef?
That's a real hot issue for me, because I was president of WAX when my brother actually was in charge of developing the WAX program, and that was based on a combination of the ACF and the European model. And he actually helped the Slovenian chefs. He actually went to Slovenia, had these mock tests for qualified candidates, helped them to understand what's done, helped them to get ready, and then established essentially a MasterChef program in Slovenia. And the model, that would have been the model to go on. The short answer to the question is the ACF program is earned while the WAX program is bought.
Mm.
That's as simple as that. And I had many not so pleasant discussions with ACF members who took the WAX program. Mm. They didn't take it. They bought it.
Right.
I really believe that the WAX caved in after, you know, I left as president. They caved in to a lot of people that ACF internally did not cave in, and that is make it so accessible that everybody can get it. Well, yeah, they did. You pay, what, $300 or whatever, and you get to become the world certified master chefs, which is really a hoax. It's deception, and you know, too bad that there are people who actually took it and had the opportunity to take the ACF program.
And I think as the, you know, as we tend to get into the new millennium, right? Like it's 2021 now. And I think we're at a point where upholding standards is more important than than it's ever been, I think, from that perspective. And making clear what great food is, and making clear what a great chef is, making clear what it means to be a master chef. And I think those standards are more important now than they've ever been. And
standards are the backbone of our industry. You know, oftentimes, you know, during the preparatory courses that we launched in different parts of the country, a number of questions came up, you know, what to do, what not to do. We already talked about don't become creative, but cook to your own standard. Don't serve anything that you said, oh, you know, it's not quite right, but maybe it'll pass. No,
nope.
Don't forget that. Forget that. And so I think people need to realize that what they put on the plate is their best effort at that time under those circumstances. And they cannot expect the proctors of the examination to be happy if they are not happy with what they put on the plate. Right. And so this own standard, this understanding your own standard, I think starts way back. It's not something that you all of a sudden one day you wake up and say, oh, now I have to cook to my standard. No, you better have done that all along.
You are it or you are not.
Right, right.
And you've had a really wonderful career. I mean, there's so much respect from me and from my generation and even the generations that I've learned from for what you've done. How did the Master Chef, or how did becoming a Master Chef and building the Master Chef help you do the things that you've done in your career?
Well, at the time, I was the only person in America who was a certified Master Chef and had an MBA. The only person. There was nobody else. So that got me to the CIA.
Right.
As simple as that. Because you needed to have the business skills of an MBA, and you certainly needed to have the perspective and understanding of what a chef is all about, what cooking is all about, and what food should be. So that, without any question, helped me. But it was not at a minimum of risk. Don't forget, I was president of the school. I took the second Master Chef examination. I didn't take the first one because I wanted to make sure it goes over well. I took the second examination. Now, there are 2,000 students who know what you're doing. There's the staff. There are 20 faculty members from 20 different countries, about 120 faculty members. Mm-hmm. They all know. And I could have easily said, well, you know, as the president of the school, I don't really need that, or I do it some other time. That was a big risk, a huge risk, huge. And, there's some people, and I see it with the Olympic teams, there are some people who get better under pressure. Mm-hmm. They and others that wilt. So, and I think that's something that also can be introduced, that aspect can be introduced in these mock examinations. And you also have to say, if you look at the master chefs that have qualified for that title, so many have been part of past culinary Olympic teams. Why? Because, you know, we use the same principles when we selected candidates, when we had our practice sessions. It was all about the same aspects of food and leadership and perfection. And so it is no wonder that a lot of people that have gone through the Olympic participation have successfully completed the MasterChef examination.
Makes sense to me.
Yep.
So if I understand correctly, you're currently working on a book, right?
Yeah, I'm is at the publisher now. Hopefully it'll come around soon. It talks about the, it's called For Many We Are One, indicating, you know, food is not just derived from one source. It's derived from many different cultures. And the subtitle is The Rise of the CIA and the Evolution of American Cuisine. And it gives people a perspective of, not, unfortunately, some journalists would said that American cuisine started in the 70s. They forgot all about incredible dishes on the regional basis. They forgot about these unbelievable restaurants like the Monaco and Antoine's, etc. They forgot about the various immigration groups that came to our shores and cooked their food, and some of which was easily assimilated into the American culture. They forgot about it. They said, well, you started in the 70s. And the 70s were very important because it was it was really that food revolution that that we saw with the California chefs having the courage, and I have to give them a lot of credit, having the courage to say, let's just use fresh foods, anything that is available to us. And it's not, it couldn't be everything, but that which is, we should use, and let the natural flavor of ingredients come through. And I think that was really a great catalyst. And then, along with that, the 70s was such an important time period. It's the Olympic team, we cooked for the first time American food for the first time. So people's, and we came in third, which for us was huge in 76.
Okay.
In third was huge. And people said, well, maybe the French didn't send their A team, or maybe they were all sous chefs, or maybe this, maybe that. Well, as it turned out, the team, French team, was captained by Jules Robuchon, who was named the chef of the century later on, and Jacques Frion, who won the first Bocuse d'Or. So it was cream of the crop. And it was very funny because we were called up to the podium as the number three winner. And they had, like the Olympics, the three podiums, first, second, third, all designed for five chefs, four chefs and the head chef. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden, the announcer said, oh, wait a minute. Sorry. The American team tied the French team for third. All of a sudden, that podium for designed for five had to accommodate 10 chefs. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of elbow work that went on. It was funny. But actually, when you look at it, it gave more credibility to us, mm-hmm. having tied the French team than if it had not been the fact. And then, of course, we cooked a dinner for the Queen of England, for the Olympic team did for the bicentennial. And then there was that wine, food and wine tasting in Paris that put American wines on the map.
Right.
I mean, there are so many things in the 70s that I can understand that the media totally overlooked and relegated to the past what happened in American cuisine way before that, mm-hmm. which we all are building on. And same as the next generation will build on whatever we did.
Well, you've been a huge proponent, and you have done so much work to, I would say, honor and push American cuisine forward. What do you attribute that to? Having come to the U.S. and just absolutely loving the country?
Yeah. Seeing that opportunity to create, and I never could understand why would a country that has all the resources, has all the people, has the ingenuity and everything else, not have its own cuisine. I mean, it's inconceivable. And that's also the time when we started to introduce an American cuisine component in our curriculum at the CIA. We opened a restaurant called the American Bounty, which, kind of put a lot of risk too. It's a restaurant for paying customers, and are they really going to support it? And of course, we put that component also in the MasterChef examination. And And so, I thought that it really is something that should, that deserves the attention of every chef, because, you know, this is who we are. We are American chefs, and we ought to feel really good and proud about what the ingredients that we have, the regions, just incredible richness of the regions throughout America, and, showcase that. And I think over time, this has happened, and this has really begun to make the public understand what American cuisine is can be. And of course, like anything else, and like any cuisine, you have very upscale, you have medium, and you have everyday kind of food, but that doesn't matter. Food is still food, and if it's prepared well and with respect and with quality and skills, it's good. Now, some people go to a normal restaurant and expect upscale food and upscale service. That's a wrong expectation. You have to have a realistic expectation of where you eat. But food itself shouldn't be compromised and should be done with love and care and passion highlight its flavors and the skills of the chefs who prepared it.
Well said. Absolutely well said. When is your book set for release?
Hopefully before the holidays.
So fall of 21?
Yeah, hopefully. So we'll see, but it's at the publishers, and that's people who told me that this writing the book is easier than getting it published. They're right. It's a nightmare.
And not to say that writing a book is easy.
No.
The process
is harder than the writing, I think.
Gotcha. Well, I have to be perfectly honest with you. I'm absolutely honored to be able to have this conversation and to sit here across from you. The first time I had the pleasure of meeting you was actually 22 years ago at the CIA, when you used to come to the inaugural or the introductory cocktail parties that we used to have when we first arrived at the CIA.
At my house.
At your house, exactly.
Right.
And that was I'd read about you. I'd heard about you for probably close to 10 years at that point, because it was always something that was on my mind, and I remember. We had a brief moment to talk, and I mean, there were another 100 students with me there, so I understood. You had asked me why I was at the CIA, and I had told you that I was there because I wanted to become a master chef. And in fact, I think I told you that I wanted to be quite a bit like you, and do the things that you had done in your career. So I just want to take this opportunity and say that you have set a phenomenally high bar for so many culinarians, and for me specifically. It's been a pleasure living out my career and trying to pursue the levels that you've established. And so I want to say thank you for setting that for me early.
Yeah, I appreciate those nice words. These receptions at the house, I never got tired of. Because, it's always a new group of people with their aspirations and their thoughts and their goals. And what it really allowed us to do is to set expectations. What do we expect from you while you are at the CIA? And what can you expect from us? And although that happened every 3 weeks in those days, you would think you get tired of that, but no, it was always a very, very exciting time, and something which actually a lot of students that I meet in the industry, they recall that. They say, this was very unique, and we appreciate that the school took the time to do this, and I think it was very important. Absolutely.
Well, your style has left such a phenomenal impression on so many, and for me specifically. And it's funny, I recently was cooking a dinner with Master Chef Andrini, and he was a teacher at the Culinary Institute for, I think 15 years he was there.
Yeah, he was there a long time.
And it's funny because we were talking about this recording and doing this work, and he said, you know, that's so cool. And one of his memories, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it spoke really well of your style, was he found it amazing that as an instructor at a school with 120 plus instructors, that you would come in, and he often called you a ghost because you would sneak into the class and wouldn't know you were there until all of a sudden you just knew you were there. And you could finish the lesson that was being taught. Mm-hmm. And he loved that you were so, you had your finger on the pulse of what was going on at the school, and you could hop in, and that you would. And having that accessibility is what really touched my entire being, because you were the president of the college, the president of the ACF, the master chef. So
yeah, it's something that I thought was good to do. There's some people who appreciated it, like Chef Andrini and others who didn't, but that's okay. I needed to be sure that what we taught in class was really what the CIA stands for. And, you know, we always went on the basis, 80% we ask you to adhere to the CIA method of teaching and substance of teaching. But 20% always was allocated for your own experience, to interject your own experience. And I think that's made it so much more valuable. And it really made a huge difference. So, yeah, that's the way it is.
Well, I guess one last question, if you don't mind. What's next?
What's next? I just came back from Mexico. Spent about a month down there, and of course looked at a lot of restaurants, ate in many, many restaurants, and quite frankly I did some posting on that. Had some very, very good experiences, flavor wise, presentation wise, and you know, it kind of defies the perception of Mexican food in America, because we look at, you know, the Mexican restaurant down the street, but we don't understand necessarily that there are a number of upscale restaurants in every town, every city, that are anywhere as good as you'll find anywhere else. You know, the ingredients, I think oftentimes are fresher. Ingredients are sometimes, you know, just harvested. We went to a seafood market that opened at 9 o'clock in the morning, but the boats had come in from the overnight fishing. So you would get the freshest seafood you possibly can think of. And so that was a very uplifting experience. There was no distributor in between. There's the fishermen who took it to their stand and their booth, and they filleted and they sold it. So so that was very a very uplifting experience. Continuing to interact with ACF to whatever degree, and certainly always part of the Master Chef examination to whatever degree is appropriate, and being part of AMCO, I think AMCO really has taken the reign of fostering a more inclusive examination, and hoping to prepare people for it better. And so I think that leadership is very, very important that AMCO has provided.
Beautiful. Well said.
All right.
Well, Chef, I want to thank you tremendously for taking your time. And I don't know what else to say other than thank you. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
Gerald, it was my pleasure. And, hopefully people who get to listen in at some point, they find it helpful. But it was my pleasure to do that.
I have no doubt they will, Chef.
All right. You take care.
Huh? You as well, Chef. And this is amazing. I look forward to following up and talking further.
Sounds great, Gerald. You take care.
You as well. Thank you, Chef. And the same goes to all of our listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in, and goodbye for now. Our greatest hope is that you know and you find this as a tremendous resource to utilize as you prepare and you travel on your journey towards craft mastery and eventually taking and passing the Certified Master Chef examination. Every single Master Chef I've ever interacted with is interested in seeing consummate professionals, true masters of the craft, be successful in the exam and join the American Master Chef's Order.
Our mission is to promote, sustain, and perfect our craft, all while identifying and supporting and inspiring the next generation of candidates as they progress towards becoming an American Master Chef. You can reach us and see more information on our website at AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.
Please subscribe or share if any of this information has impacted you in a positive way. I'd like to thank you very much for your participation in joining us in. For any resources discussed during the course of the podcast, please check the AMCO website, AmericanMasterChefOrder.com, to find it there.